sermon for today, the fourth Sunday in Lent, sometimes referred to as Mothering Sunday, was written by Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, late Metropolitan of the ACC. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Don't complicate it. That's what I'm calling it. Jerusalem, my happy home, when shall I come to thee? The person who composed that hymn was not referring to the problematical, largely Arab city in the state of Israel that the Pope just visited many years ago when he wrote the sermon. The hymn is talking about heaven, and it is meditating upon how nice it is going to be in heaven, and how interesting it is going to be to see so many famous people from the Bible up there. But the hymn calls heaven Jerusalem. The New Testament's identification of Jerusalem with heaven begins with today's epistle selection from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. It reaches its consummation in St. John's description of the end of all things in the book of Revelation. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. One of the large, overarching themes of the Bible is the movement of God's people from the country to the city. Mankind starts off with Adam and Eve in a garden, but the final destiny of mankind lies in the city of God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Israel was a nomadic people, and their national identity was forged as they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. But King David conquered the heathen city of Jerusalem in the 11th century B.C., and he made it his political and military capital. When King Solomon built the temple in Jerusalem as a place for God to live, Israel had finally settled down with permanent central institutions in a city which focused their collective attention. Earthly Jerusalem's New Testament importance comes, quite obviously, from the fact that Jesus died and rose again and ascended into heaven there. He goes to Jerusalem to die, for Old Testament reasons. Jesus tells his disciples, it cannot be that a prophet perish outside Jerusalem. In this morning's epistle, St. Paul builds a large and imposing structure on a story from the Old Testament book of Genesis. What he has to say about the contrast between Jerusalem on earth and Jerusalem in heaven is part of the structure. His overall intention in Galatians is to address the question, how can I get into a proper relationship with God? St. Paul says that we have two basic choices. Either we can try to earn the relationship by our own efforts, or we can accept what God has done for us in Christ with our many admirable accomplishments and our general wonderfulness. Or we can accept the fact that we cannot please God by anything we do. We can either proclaim, I am good, or at the very least, I'm not so bad. Or we can say, I'm not much good at all, but Jesus died for me. We can continue to try to assert our own control over the situation. Or we can relax in the confidence that God can run the universe better than we can. So the best we can do is either cooperate or just get out of his way. In Genesis, God tells Abraham that he is going to have many descendants. His wife Sarah is long past the age of childbearing. So they laugh, and then they decide to help God out. Since they are certain that God can't possibly mean that Abraham's child is going to come from Sarah, They agree to let Abraham try to impregnate Sarah's slave girl, Hagar. A child born of that union would be as legitimate as a child born to Abraham and Sarah. Hagar has a son named Ishmael. Sarah gets jealous. God insists that the son through whom Abraham is going to have all the descendants be through Sarah. Abraham and Sarah conceive a son, Isaac. Ishmael picks on Isaac, and at Sarah's behest, Abraham throws Hagar and Ishmael out of the household. St. Paul sees the story, first of all, as an object lesson about why it is better just to go along with whatever God says. He takes off from there to use the story to reflect the contrast between the law and the gospel, between bondage and freedom, between contracts and promises, between false motherhood and true motherhood, between the earthly Jerusalem and the heavenly Jerusalem, between the flesh and the spirit, and between the covenant with Moses at Mount Sinai and the covenant in Jesus' blood. That is a lot to bring out of one soap opera-like episode. But his simplest point is the clearest. God knows what he's doing. Don't complicate it, just accept it. God saved us and forgave us and promised us a ticket to the heavenly Jerusalem when Jesus died on the cross. Don't complicate it, just accept it. In today's gospel, Jesus feeds 5,000 people with 5 dinner rolls and 2 fish. He takes a little bit and turns it into a lot, just as he did when Abraham and Hagar produced all the Arabs, and then Abraham and Sarah produced all the Jews. Later on, just as he did in the feeding miracle, Jesus will take and bless and break and pass out some other bread. He will hold up that bread to his disciples and say, "This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." We take him at his word. Don't complicate it, just accept it. Like his Father, he knows what he is doing. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as his most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.
Amen.